Hey, hey, welcome to an all new episode of Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. This is episode 25, and Super Bowl weekend, I guess, Super Bowl, Tom Brady, amazing man, 7 Super Bowls is a big accomplishment. Still not the greatest athlete ever in sports. Michael Jordan went 6-0 in NBA titles. This is not even a discussion. It's not going to ever be a discussion. But anyway, home bar. So we talked about last time, my wife got me an awesome home bar cabinet, thus kind of officially kicking off my home bar into an actual home bar, or at least kind of the start of one. So I'm really excited about this. So I got all the bottles, like I described last time, I believe, I got all the bottles in the bottom section. And since then, my wife got me some awesome mixers and stuff to go with the bar, and I got some bar tools. So I went and picked up a shaker. Now, it wasn't the Boston shaker, but I'm going to get, after learning a little more, I'm going to get a Boston shaker next time. But still, I got a shaker for mixing up a drink, right? And so that's good. I got the poury thingy. They like to call them jiggers. I call them the poury thingies. And I got a strainer, and I got what's called a Hawthorne strainer, which a lot of the bartenders recommended on the videos that I saw and stuff. So I got that. And then in the mail, my wife ordered me an awesome set, which is the muddler and the long, fancy bartendery spoon. So I got all that stuff, right? So I got the basic of all the bar tools and stuff now. Not all of them, but I got, you know, all I need to make a lot of the main cocktails as far as tool-wise goes or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good to go. So I started wanting to seriously learn the recipe right off the bat for two, like, you know, established kind of but easier drinks to make. Bloody Mary. So I kind of did my own version of a Bloody Mary where added to the tomato mix, you know, you'll add pickle brine instead of vinegar. Spicy pickle brine is what I use for mine. And then I did extra spice with El Yucateco, which is chili habanero hot sauce. And another way I differentiated my version was instead of lining the glass with like, a lot of people use like bar salt, celery salt, etc. types of salt. I used tahine, to line the glass with. And then, inside, you know, as garnishments along with their traditional celery stalk and lemon wedge, I used a spicy pickle, which I actually picked up from a tip I saw on a Jamie Oliver video, believe it or not. So I like the little extra little bit of spice. I like my bloodies really spicy. And so I call it a bloody fade because of the, like, I guess the, you know, the little twists I put on it, and because I used specifically faded vodka for my version, thus giving it the name the bloody fade. Faded Vodka is an awesome sponsor of one of the other podcasts I'm on, the After Hours Show. So check them out. Faded Vodka, based out of Portland, Oregon. Great, smooth vodka. Good for all your drinks, man. For real. It's now my go-to vodka, so I'm just buying one vodka to mix and stuff. That's what I'm getting. So that's what I do with that drink. And you can add any kind of extra garnishments you want. Oh, and also I sprinkle on top a little bit of the tahine on the top of the drink as well to kind of finish it off, an extra little garnish there on the top. And that's my version, the Bloody Fade. And then Whiskey Fix. I wanted to start with a traditional cocktail, make it exactly like how it's supposed to be. And so I watched this really fascinating video on YouTube where this guy mixes like 50 of the most popular cocktails in like an hour or something. I don't know. An amazing amount of time, but he does a good job of doing every recipe like the legit way with all the legit materials and spirits, tools, you know, no shortcuts, and does them quick, but in like explaining it that like someone like me can get it. I don't know how he does a great job of pulling it off. The series is by, I think I want to say Epicurious. So if you check that out on YouTube, it's a great clip. It's been a good jumping off point for me. So on there they had a Whiskey Fix, which is somewhat similar ingredients as if you know the actual ingredients that go in a whiskey sour. Now, I didn't know, like, I Okay, I order whiskey sour is kind of a go-to drink that I'll order a lot when I go to a bar, right? But watching these bartending things online and reading, what I've learned is traditional ingredient in a whiskey sour is egg whites. Now, I can tell you that some whiskey sours I've had at some bars have a little more creaminess to them, and definitely probably have had the egg whites in them. But a lot of bars, you can tell it's just like some sweet and sour mix. You know what I mean? There's some lemon squeeze juice, not fresh lemon juice. You could tell that's a drink that's typically shortcutted by a lot of bartenders. But whiskey sour, anyway, what I've learned traditionally has the whiskey, some simple syrup, some fresh squeezed lemonade, right? And then bitters and egg whites. And so they'll put in, I believe I want to say they pour in like into the mixer first, or not even in the mixer, straight into the glass. I think it goes, I want to say the lemon juice, the simple syrup, then the whiskey mix, then the bitters, kind of splashed on top. So whiskey fix, similar ingredients done a different way somewhat. So for the whiskey fix, I learned this drink because I had all the ingredients right away, and it was a simple drink to start out with and master. And so I've been practicing it over this weekend to the point I've actually already got it down. So what you do with the whiskey fix, first off, is you get your pourry thing, right? And you want to fill the short side. The short side is the 1 ounce side. Okay, so the short side I fill about 3/4 of the way with fresh squeezed lemon juice. That means I went and squeezed these straight out of the lemon, then cut the wedge out of the lemon that I'm going to use to garnish the drink with, right? So it's fresh squeezed lemon juice. I made this the first time last week sometime with pre-squeezed lemonade, not pre-squeezed lemon juice. I mean, not the same at all. So after that first time, I knew it's got to be the fresh squeeze. No shortcuts. Now, spoiler alert, the only one and only shortcut I have to take on making this drink is the cherries. I do not have the correct cherries, the Luxardo cherries, to officially complete the drink. So I do have cherries, maraschino cherries, so it'll work. So it's kind of a twist. Maraschino cherries instead of the Luxardo. But besides that, every other ingredient I make this specifically the way it's made. Okay? So anyway, so first in goes the fresh lemonade. So I'm going to do that now. I'm actually going to prep this live now on the show. Okay, whiskey fix. So first I'm going to pour in to the shaker. There's the fresh squeezed lemonade, all right? That's about 3/4 of an ounce. That's how I make it, right? So I'm going to do the same with the simple syrup. So I'm pouring that in to the pourry thingy up to the same line. Now I'm going to pour that in the shaker very carefully, not spill any. All right. Now it calls for 2 ounces of whiskey. So I'm going to use bourbon whiskey. I'm not going to shout out the brand, just I'm not sure quite how that works in podcasting rights worlds. Faded is a brand I feel comfortable shouting out because I know I have their rights to. They sponsor my other podcast. I know that the owner of Faded, because I know him, is not going to come after me. I'm comfortable using that brand. The brand of bourbon I'm using on here, I'm not comfortable using. Saying the name, not knowing the rules. So anyway, I'm using a typical bourbon whiskey of your choice. It doesn't have to be bourbon. And I'm doing 2 ounces of this. So I'm going to pour those in. I'm going to use the small side of the pourry thingy and just two 1 ounce pours, because I have a one that's 1 ounce on one side and 1.5 ounce on one side. Now you can get some that are two on the other side, and I'm going to do that. But for right now, this is what I have. So I'm putting, there's 1 ounce in. Okay, you can hear me banging against the tin because I'm still an amateur. There's 2 ounces of whiskey, and because that was a little not quite to the edge, we're gonna top it off there. Right, so I got all the ingredients in there. So what you're supposed to do now is throw in one ice cube into
the shaker. So I'm going to get one ice cube. I've got prepped ice. I've got the one ice cube. And then I've got basically shaved up or smashed up ice for in the drink. Crushed ice, I guess you'd say. I don't know. Whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. So, okay. So I got all the stuff in the shaker. So what I'm doing now is the lid's on the shaker. And you're going to basically shake it around until the ice pretty much dissolves in the mix. This is a real simple drink to make. It's pretty much three ingredients, not counting ice and the garnishments. So I knew like a three ingredient drink was safe for me to start out with, right? To the point that I already feel comfortable demonstrating it on my own podcast. So now everything's perfectly mixed up in the shaker. Pour that in the glass. What I'm learning, something I didn't know, I think something I probably thought was the exact opposite, was you're supposed to pour the ice in the drink last. And I always thought that was something you did first. I'm learning that is not, in fact, something you do first. Okay. So this drink, when you pour it in, it doesn't look like a lot at first in the glass because it's basically, you know, 3.5 ounces of liquid. You got the 2 ounces of whiskey, basically 1.5 ounces of mix. But this calls for a lot of crushed ice. So you top it off with the crushed ice. That's how this drink is served. So now I'm shoveling all that in there. And then, yeah, you top it off. With the lemon, the half lemon wedge. And then the cherry in a small straw. And you got a whiskey fix. So there you go. Not a hard drink to make at all if you got those three ingredients. A lemon, good whiskey, or at least a decent whiskey, simple syrup, ice. And then, of course, cherries on top. You can make this, too, and it tastes just like a bar drink. This is basically, honestly, probably what half the places have given me and called it a whiskey sour. But mine's better. So I got all the ice I want in there. Actually, I'm just going to put all this ice in there because that's how the bars do it. So got all the ice in there looking just like a bar drink. Ice. Shove the lemon in there. Cherry is the last step. So see, it's a real simple, quick drink you can throw together the legit way. Tastes just like a bar drink. So now I get to sit down and enjoy it while I do the rest of my podcast. Not bad. So definitely a good one to start out with. Good starter drink for sure. So, this has been, I guess, kind of a real fun little venture doing the home bar thing, learning drinks. You know, I'm not going to catch up to Shado, obviously, what he has, but it's a cool little hobby anyway. I'm not going to be tossing around any fire drinks anytime soon. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so I got room that I can throw all the mixers back in the cabinet, which I like. Yeah, it's a fun little setup. Danny Ocean's bar, and no one knows where it is. Oh, my guy Shado knows. So there you go. So, see, it only took me all of a couple minutes to mix that one. Stay with me in the future. If you like the drink mixes a lot, I would check out the other podcast I'm on, the After Hour Show, and the show that birthed that, the Happy Hour Show. We do a lot of drink-related stuff on there. I just, because this is a random format podcast, and lately that's been kind of the thing, you know, I kind of always
for my longtime listeners know, I kind of always just bring you what's going on in my life a lot of times. And so what's going on in my life right now, the new side hobby anyway, is this. And so that's why this is what I'm talking about in the podcast. It's not going to become a regular thing. I have another podcast for the drink stuff if you really like it. But it's just kind of the thing now. And it's kind of a treat for my fans who know me, who first heard of me from the happy hour and the after hours, having me do that on this show. You know, as you've heard a few times, I've done episodes of this show that have gone pretty close, similar to the format on those shows, just because sometimes that's what I'm in the mood for, and I have the right to because I'm a co-host on that. But today, I'm just doing it because the drink thing is what I've been into. So yeah, I'm going to take my first taste of the drink. Not bad. Not bad. I've made it now with 4 different whiskeys, and you can definitely, you know, taste a difference. Sorry for the squeaky chair. You can definitely taste a difference in how the drink tastes with all 4 of the whiskeys. You know what I'm saying? So this one, the one I use today, definitely puts an interesting kick to it. It's a rougher, probably I would say whiskey is a good way to describe it. So it's probably good that I'm not mentioning the brand of the whiskey. It's probably one of the more budget whiskeys in my bar collection. But I was going to say that really, really gives it the extra, this come out of a bar taste, you know. So yeah, I got to say this really tastes like, now today specifically, I'll say this one tastes like what you'd expect to get at a bar where they're really plugging your drinks. You go to a bar and your friends say, man, they're plugging the drinks. And for the old time, the really old timers, even older than this old timer, plugging your drinks means like you're getting a good amount of liquor in the drink. You can, you know, it's not like, you know, you go to a nightclub sometimes and the drinks just taste like basically fruit punch. And you're like, where's the alcohol? And you see the bartender pouring it and they're like really pouring it short into the pourer and stuff like that. When they say you're plugging your drinks, you definitely know because they're giving you at least the amount that's called for in the drink, if not more sometimes, plugging your drink. You know what I mean? This is definitely tastes like a plugged drink. So there you go. I think I did a good job today. You know what I'm saying? Like you could feel good selling this at any cheap airport bar where people expect to get, you know, airport near adjacent hotel, cheap hotel bar where people expect to get plugged drinks. This could work there. So I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but yeah, so I'm happy with this. I think next time I will try to learn a third drink. Now that I've kind of gotten 2 down, I'm going to try to learn a third drink. This one also exactly to the recipe with all the right ingredients. Not taking no shortcuts. And I'll bring it to you on the next episode, probably, or the one after that, depending on how frankly I'm doing the episodes this week. So yeah, but man, did not watch much of the Super Bowl. It didn't look good from the start. I was way off. I really thought the Chiefs defense was going to kind of take that championship form at the right time and step up in the game. That was really my expectations for today, and it was the exact opposite of what happened. And these aren't, you know, I wasn't really pulling for either team or pulling against either team. These are 2 real medium teams to me, like teams that I don't really hate or like. They're just there to me. They're like the Dolphins. So I'm just like, cool, you know, it'll be 2 of the best quarterbacks ever going head to head, right? So I expected a closer game. My prediction, I even posted it, was, you know, this is going to be a high scoring close game, won by like a field goal margin, I think, with I picked one of Kansas City's receivers to get the MVP of the game. So obviously my predictions were way off. I should never go bet on the NFL in Vegas. That's just a fact. But man, I wasn't the only one that probably predicted Kansas City winning in a high scoring game or it being a close game. And it was not, I think a lot of people had the expectation this was going to be a real close game. I really do. I didn't hear blowout a lot. You weren't really sure because you knew Tom Brady has won 6 rings and this and that. He's got Gronkowski with him, and he's got, you know, a proven guy in Antonio Brown with him. But that defense sometimes has been off and on this year and suspect. And, you know, Kansas City won it last year. They're fresh off. They know, most of those guys on the roster know what it takes to win at a high level. And the you know, the quarterback for KC is like, you know, Tom Brady may be the greatest in that discussion for the greatest NFL player of all time. But who's playing the best right now, you know, is probably Mahomes for Kansas City. So it was, to me, like I expected a closer game. That's all. So didn't really keep my interest today, sad to say. But hey, Portland State basketball wins. So that's good. Keeping their little mini streak going. They've kind of had a rough season, but I'm hoping they can take form right in time to win their conference tournament and then go into the NCAA tournament. That's all it takes. They play in one of those conferences where, you know, unless Portland State plays a really tough out-of-conference schedule or, like, wins a big out-of-conference tournament and then, like, goes undefeated almost, they're going to need to win their conference tournament to get in. They don't – the Big Sky is usually a one-bid conference. I don't know if it's ever been more than a one-bid conference. The West Coast Conference used to be like the Big Sky, but now it's built itself into a possibly 3-4-bid conference every year. You know, with Gonzaga obviously being a shoe-in. BYU is now in the conference, and they're one of those teams that's in the tournament at least probably every other year. And then LMU is a team that just, you never know, right? LMU is a team that's probably in the tournament every couple years or so also. And then there's other teams in the conference that are good enough with the right talent to make runs, like University of Portland, Pepperdine, teams like that. So the West Coast Conference is definitely kind of building into one of the better not Big Six leagues in the country. The Big Sky, unfortunately, is not there. So Portland State's got to win their conference tournament to get in. This is how it is. The Big Sky is not the weakest conference in the country, but it's definitely a one-bid conference. The good thing about that is, though, Portland State, all they got to do is just get hot at the right time, right? Get hot at the right time, get through the conference tournament, you're in the tournament. The talent really is there. There's a lot of transfers on Portland State that played at other bigger programs, and they got a decent amount of size. They're not huge, but they got enough size to hang. So it's good. I hope they get hot at the right time and make the tournament, and I miss being able to go into a game in person. Excited to get back to Viking Pavilion, the gym that I graduated in, you know, the arena I graduated in, and who knew I was going to be part of the last class that got to, like, have an in-person graduation. I don't know, you know, last year they didn't, and it's not looking good for the students this year. I feel bad for them. Like, it's got to be weird, all that work, and it would have bummed me out, all that hard work and not being able to go, you know, walk up and get my diploma and all that. So, whew, I don't know. That would be rough. Yeah, it was really a big moment getting that, and I don't know. Like, at my old age, getting a diploma was a big thing, so it would have kind of really sucked to not be able to go. I feel for all those students, whether it be high school or college graduation or master's ceremony graduates, you know, who didn't, or doctorates, who didn't get to go in person and graduate after all that hard work. Must suck. So anyway, I'm just rambling on. Stupid thought consciousness. I want to thank everyone for listening to the episode. I hope I haven't bored you too much this time. Here's another thing I wanted to talk about. So, as a lot of you know, I'm on a radio show called They Gave Us a Show. It's on Freeform Portland, 90.3 FM and 98.3 FM, and now 101.5 FM. So depending on the part of town you're in, hear us on one of those stations, right? Part of the Portland area you're in. Anyway, we've been, since the COVID thing kind of hit, recording episodes from home. So for a while I was doing, when we kicked back up the episodes, I was doing them on this DJ app that I had on my tablet, right? And it was free to just record and stuff. And so what I would do is lay out all the songs and all the interview clips in the show that I was going to play like they were records and just mix it all back and forth. It worked for me. I did the whole 2 hours straight through in like one take, basically. It was just real. I had it down the order I was going to do all the songs, and it's just a matter of transitioning between all the songs and the beds and the interview clips and all that for 2 hours, right? But it worked. But then for a while that didn't work. So Shado was doing all the shows on Adobe, right? Because I did not have a computer at home. And so already like putting a workload on top of him when he's already, you know, doing the happy hour and all that stuff, right? So good news is we got a computer here. Nice computer. A couple years old, but good, because it was built at the right time where computers still had disk drives, but they were also starting to become touch screen. So I got the best of both worlds. I got a computer that can use a mouse or be touch screen, and it still has a disk drive built in. So I've been able to rip some music off some CDs I have to put on my show. So my music catalog just went way up. Super pumped about that. So yeah, long story short, I got the Adobe now on my computer. So now I just did for the first time an episode of our show on Adobe myself. And I think I really, it's hard work. So props to Shado for doing that. But I think I overpsyched myself, not in so much that putting the episode together was going to be harder. It was as hard as I thought it was going to be. Hard work, but not too much. I think I had psyched myself out that something was going to go wrong in the like process of mixing it down, or like the songs wouldn't save right, the files types wouldn't jive together. I just felt like there was always this problem coming. Every step, I would save it constantly. I was saving. Every time I made one little change, thinking there's a problem coming. You know what I mean? And when I mixed it down, I'm thinking there's a problem coming. No problem. I converted to MP3. I'm thinking there's a problem coming. I listened to it on MP3. There's no real problem. I mean, there's typical problems. The human errors I made, there was a couple spots of like dead air between like the beds or like station teasers or show teasers or like between songs where like I locked all the, like Shado showed me how to lock everything in place when I had it lined up, and I did that, but for some reason I think I probably bumped a couple of them while I was locking them in place, because I had my transitions real tight. Like a lot of people will start a transition into the next song, you know, real early in, but I like to kind of let the songs almost play out. When they start fading, that's where I start the transition to the next song, right? I go with the natural fade of the song. Or if the song ends abruptly, I'll put a song a lot of times right back to it that starts abruptly, and it's just like that to that. You know what I mean? I don't do too much of the like added on fading. I don't like to, because I don't feel like I have to. I should have. But anyway, I had them lined up real tight to kind of like the new songs to come in as the old ones fade out. A couple of those were a little off. So that was the only real problems, though, was just me lining up. And the sound levels were a little, you know, for the most part, I did a B-plus job of lining up songs next to each other with similar heights and sound levels. I could have done better, for sure. You know, because I'm not at the, like, technical level where I'm going to go in and be able to make all the levels match good enough. I got to just trust that the songs are going to match sound levels. But it's weird, because you can buy like, and it'll be from the same time period, two songs, the real copy of the song straight off of an MP3 download from the record company in like iTunes or Amazon, or straight off of the legit CD. And these are both legit, made by big record companies. And one of them will sound a lot louder than the other one. And they're the same tempo. And like, it's not one is an acoustic song and one is like thrash metal, right? It'll be two hip hop songs, same tempo, you know, club. They're both, imagine two club songs, right? And so they're like a similar BPMs and loudness and all that, right? But one of them will come in way louder. And it's not like one of these is a bummy burnt copy. So it's a weird phenomenon that any, I think, radio DJs and club DJs probably have dealt with too. You know, is even when you're getting the legit copies of some songs, I don't know if it's the engineers didn't mix it down the right way or they're going for quietness, but some stuff I'm like, this is a professional made CD. It's like RCA is the company, and the sound is just, it's a weird thing. But anyway, didn't run into too much of that. But so I give myself overall probably say a C+, just because the dead air spots really bothered me. But they weren't huge. I've heard, I told Shado even this, that we shouldn't be worried about it, because like I've heard like iHeart stations have dead air on them sometimes. It doesn't happen often, but I've heard it in like big spaces of dead air. So it's not the end of the world. You know what I'm saying? But definitely respect to Shado, co-host on that radio show, from putting those together. Because it is, yeah, it's definitely, I don't feel stressed at all about the next episode, putting it together for sure. I kind of got the idea down, and I'm going to throw the songs ahead of time in and be good. But I will say, it's a process for sure. I definitely miss when we could go to the station and do the shows live. But Freeform's only allowing like, you know, one or two people to go in the station and maintain it. And the rest of us have to either do our shows live remotely or, you know, pre-record them and put them together. The live software is just too touchy. So I have chosen not to go that route. We pre-record our episodes and send them in. But good news on that is I'm going to do some extra station shows and mixes. So for those who really are fans of the music show, They Gave Us a Show, and like when I play reggae, I'm going to be doing some reggae-only shows, kind of as substitute shows for other DJs on the station who are not able to do their regular show. So these will play at random times, not at the times of the regular show I'm on, They Gave Us a Show. But my reggae shows, my reggae mixes are going to play just at other times on the station. And there'll be a tiny bit of talking from me, but mostly music. That's kind of the goal of the whole thing, is short talking segments, talking about the songs, and then straight into more songs. Good chunk of songs, tiny bit of talking, good chunk of songs. So look at my Instagram, and I'll start sharing flyers for those episodes soon when they're going to come up. The first one will be soon. I got a dope mix for that one already that I'm already putting together. I'm already putting together the episode as we speak. So it'll be kind of my way. You know, They Gave Us a Show, as always, it's been hip hop, reggae, R&B. It's kind of been in that order. It's supposed to be, I play hip hop a little more than everything, with a good dose of West Coast and Northwest and Portland hip hop in there. And then reggae probably second, R&B third. Well, it's been kind of hip hop, and I've kept my goal of playing a good amount of Portland hip hop and Northwest and West Coast hip hop. But I haven't played as much reggae all the time as I've wanted to. There's been a few episodes where I've knocked out as how much reggae as I've wanted to, but not all the time. I didn't have access to a lot of my reggae collection because it was on CDs that I bought a long time ago, right? And so I'd been downloading reggae, buying songs, getting them from the record pool that I'm in, you know, from the artist managers and stuff. But it was still, I had a vast collection that were on CD. So I've been able to get those. My reggae collection is back up to where it should be, with legit copies of reggae CDs that I purchased a long time ago. Now I can burn all those into MP3s, put them on the show. So, got an awesome reggae mix coming. It's kind of my way of getting to showcase as much reggae as I want, as I've always wanted to. So there's a lot of reggae DJs out there that do a great job, but there needs to be more. I feel like what's missing is a lot more DJs that play modern reggae mixed in. Now, a lot of them do a good job. Shout out to my guy Shortchange. Shout out to Trinity, because they do a great job of mixing in old school with modern reggae. But there is a shortage of DJs that do that. And shout out to Impact Sound as well. Great reggae show as well, Portland local. But, and I think even these guys listening to my show, and and I'm forgetting also another good local reggae DJ, Selectris Margo. There's a couple others I'm forgetting. So I'm definitely not ragging on them, because they know what they're doing. But there's a lot of guys who just are hipsters that are into reggae, and they really, really, the hipsters love the old, like 70s and 80s reggae. So I'm trying to bring you 90s and newer, for the most part, reggae. You can turn on a lot of reggae shows and stations and go to a reggae night at a bar and hear Bob Marley and, you know, Burning Spear. And nothing's wrong with any of that stuff, you know. Nothing's wrong with any of that stuff. And Toots and the Maytals is one of my most favorite groups ever. And so there is a couple old school things I will play. You're going to hear me throw in some old school stuff from time to time. Toots and the Maytals, Bob Marley, of course. But my focus is 90s and newer reggae, legit stuff. Like, this is legit reggae, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm trying to bring you with these mixes. So I hope you like them. And this drink is really sitting well. Man, yeah, I'm glad I'm getting this episode knocked out. I was like, what am I going to talk about on the next podcast episode? But the bar thing works, and the radio episode, man. So yeah, check out my radio. Shameless plug. Check out the radio show, me and Shado. They gave us a show. It's awesome. We interview, you know, hip-hop and R&B artists a lot. You know, we play music. It's a great thing. I started out on KPSU when I was going to Portland State, the college station there, when I graduated. That same summer, I moved it over to Freeform Portland, which is an FM station here in Portland. The show got accepted over there. I brought Shado on as an official co-host, because at Portland State, he couldn't be. Non-students have to actually pay to host shows at PSU. I mean, at KPSU. So, little known fact, if you're not a student and you want to get a show at KPSU College Radio, you can, but you got to pay $75 a term. So I wasn't going to subject my guy to that. So I would have him on as a sometimes co-host, not every episode. Now, though, when I move the show, I'm like, I can have Shado as an official co-host. So I consider me and him equal hosts on the show. He got me into, like, you know, the Happy Hour show and podcast. He got me into online radio. So, you know, I owe it to him. So yeah, I consider me and him the official hosts of the show. You check out our show. They gave us a show on Freeform Portland every other Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. The next couple episodes, we're going to do guest free. We're going to kind of clamp down again real hard on the social distancing. You know, and just be me and Shado on these episodes, and just cool off on the guests for a while again until more people get vaccinated and this curve kind of goes down again, this third curve or whatever it is. But we're still going to bring you episodes. We already got it planned out. We're not missing a beat. We're going to keep these episodes going every other Saturday, and I'm going to keep these podcasts going, and we're going to keep... and look out. Oh, here's another thing. So if you do watch the other shows that I'm on, the Happy Hour show, we recorded an episode of that a couple weeks ago that's going to come out soon. And Shado had me do the one chip challenge on here. And I don't know if I talked about this in the last podcast or not, but boy, you got to check that episode out. And the After Hour show podcast, because the after show, the chip is still affecting my body and I'm still like working on it, because I was like, so it's definitely one to check out, and it'll blow your mind. How stupid I am. But yeah, for real, it was fun recording that one. I underestimated how much worse a chip is than the sauce. I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought it was a chip. No, it was worse, because that chip was straight dusted with like the spice of the Carolina Reaper pepper, which they say is the hottest pepper in the world. I don't doubt it. Weirdly enough, my tongue and like the inside of my mouth was building up a tolerance to the chip halfway through, but my tummy was not. My lips either. My lips don't take it well. The inside of my mouth takes it fine. My tummy was not. But even the outside of my mouth was building up a tolerance. My tummy was not building up a tolerance. So, didn't finish the chip. I would say I finished about 3/4 of it, and Shado can vouch for that. That was rough. For those who long-time listeners know, I've had the second hottest sauce on Hot Ones, and I took it like a champ. And I've had wings slathered in ghost pepper sauce. Took that like a champ. That was rough. But this, the one chip blew both of those away combined. So I definitely think I'm ready for Hot Ones. If I ever get famous enough, coming for Hot Ones, coming for that, and I'm going to knock it out the park like a champ. I'm ready. I'm completing my Hot Ones training, but I got to get big enough first for that. But if I get big enough, tell my agent, or me if I'm my own agent, get me on Hot Ones. Got to say, I'm really impressed with how I made this drink. No complaints at all. So I want to thank everyone for listening. As always, you can find Danny Ocean's Random Podcast most anywhere podcasts are. Listen or download, share, Follow along on Instagram. Follow at Danny's Random Podcast, or just search Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. Follow me, Danny Ocean. Just search Danny Ocean, original Danny Ocean. If you search Danny Ocean, you might get, there's a famous DJ with the name Danny Ocean in South America. And it's funny because like a lot of his fans will like tweet at me and stuff, and I'll get their messages and I'll be like, oh, that's my cousin. I always joke like that. But, and I'll like share his real handle. Because I had Twitter for a long time, and so I got the Danny Ocean handle before everyone else tried to get it, before he became famous and tried to get it. But he has the Danny Ocean handle on Instagram because I was late to Instagram. So I have original Danny Ocean on there. So follow me on Instagram, original Danny Ocean. You can check out when more episodes of this are coming up and more episodes of all the other shows I'm on. And check out Hip Hop Fighting Cancer once again. I'm on the board of it. It's a great organization. We do events. The events go to the night. The proceeds from the events, donations go to the Knight Cancer Institute at OHSU, Oregon Health Sciences University. And the Knight Cancer Institute was built by and sponsored by Phil Knight. And for anyone who knows, he's one of the founders. He was one of the founders of Nike, along with Bill Ballerman, famous donor to the University of Oregon sports. And so, you know, there you go. Phil Knight built an awesome cancer research center at OHSU, and some of it's off campus of OHSU at the satellite campus as well. And they're doing cancer research to try to cure different forms of cancer, and so that's what we're donating to. So check out the organization. I am Jordan. Bless me to make me a part of this great organization. I've got to host some of the events on stage, which has been fun, and I'm on the board. So definitely check it out. Donate to if you can. Buy some of our merch and just donate that way, or just straight up donate. You know what I mean? Because it's a great cause. It's for a great cause. And if events ever do start going on again and we get to go to real life stuff and events in person, come to the Hip Hop Fighting Cancer events. Check me out hosting them on stage. But that's my plug for all the other stuff I got going on. So yeah, you can follow the other shows I'm on at After Hours Show Pod, at the Happy Hour Show. These are Instagram, or at They Gave This Show. Hip Hop Fighting Cancer at Hip Hop Fighting Cancer. Check out the cool event I'm a board member of. And it's not just Hip Hop Fighting Cancer is more than a live hip hop show. That's kind of what it started out as. But we've done a toy drive. You know, there's Jordan's done and sponsored challenges online, like a dance challenge and a rap challenge. You know what I mean? They give away merch, prizes that he gives away. Hip Hop Fighting Cancer has given away shoes to cancer patients or survivors, and, you know, stuff to families and all kind of cool stuff. It's a great organization. Pumped to be a part of it. It's really blessed to be a part of it. And I'm blessed to have you guys listening to my podcast. So thank you, everybody who's listened to the podcast, whether it's your first time or you've been on for the long time. I hope you tune in for the next time, episode 26. Thanks for listening to episode 25, Danny Ocean's Random Podcast. Until next time, thank you.